Well, the world is a dumpster fire. Nothing here makes sense. And you vacillate between crippling fear and constant self-defense. And nothing's right and nothing's good. And you're paralyzed with grief. Don't kill yourself, just have a cup of coffee.
Welcome to
Let's Laugh About
Suicide, the dramedy podcast that celebrates life
while contemplating the inevitable,
one cup of coffee at a time.
See what we did there?
Yeah. I'm your host number one, Chris Parker Howard.
And I'm your host that's not taking a number two, but is number two, Tim Rooney.
Keeping it classy.
Keeping it classy.
So this is going to be an interesting episode if you subscribe to both podcasts.
I made a poop joke. So what?
Yeah.
If you
subscribe to both, then you're gonna get this twice.
Yes.
So you can listen to the other one, in another room, while you're listening to this one. Put them on in stereo.
It'll stereo. Be like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is gonna be kind of a more of an emotional weather report, if you will, Tim and I just kind of going over some stuff. We both kind of been kind of down and kind of lost and
yeah.
Sort of in the middle of things, and thought, you know, what better way to exercise a conversation of friendship than publicly?
Yeah. Yeah. So. And we decided to, just kind of, I don't know, air out our dirty laundry
yeah.
to some degree and explain, you know, I myself am taking a little bit of a hiatus. You know, so this will at least be something for my listeners to be able to listen to. Chris is still going.
For now, yeah.
You know, he's rubbing it in my face. That's fine, you know.
My hiatus is not over until December, or not beginning until December.
Gotcha,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. And then I'm going to have even more news to talk about that I'm not really ready to go live with just yet. But, why not bring it up and then not talk about it like
exactly.
some kind of asshole?
No, that's fine. Because it's like, there's one thing that I love is like when you go to, say, a magic show.
Yeah.
And they say they're going to make a great white whale, you know, show up in the middle of the room, and they don't, you know. So
right.
you're kind of excited for a moment.
In
and
a
then
way,
you're...
I did talk about a great white whale in this episode.
Yeah, you did. Totally. Yeah.
And then me.
Yes.
You know, we do love each other, so we're able to talk to each other this way. And I
exactly.
think that matters. I think it's good to have people that you can rely on
yes.
when things are going sideways in your life.
Yes.
I think you'll enjoy this episode from my end.
And my end, you'll just be, it'll exist. So, no, but seriously, this intro really is weird because it almost seems like it's just an extension of the podcast episode.
Yeah. So we should just shut up.
We're going to shut up now.
That's that. So enjoy. This is my conversation with Tim Rooney.
And this is my conversation with Chris Howard.
It. We're doing it.
Yeah,
this
we're
is,
on.
This is yeah. Get that.
Yeah, let me
right
get
up,
the microphone
right
up
at your face.
In my face.
Yeah. Go ahead and eat it.
There we go. Okay. It wasn't turning. Got it.
Yeah. We need this like
right
at your
there.
Face.
Okay.
Okay. That's good.
Awesome.
Yeah. We're off to a great start.
Yeah, this is a pretty good episode. So,
well, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And wait, no, we had a thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this episode's going to be a little different maybe than some of the past episodes, because there's going to be a little bit of a back and forth. This is a split that is going to be both a Let's Laugh About Death and a Coffee Over Suicide crossover.
Yes. Yeah, this is Marvel meets DC, and I'm going to have to let Chris have the Marvel title, you know.
Well, no, I mean, if it's DC, I'm Plastic Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, if it's Marvel, then I'm Squirrel Girl. So
I like that.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
Plastic Man and Squirrel Girl, right? Yeah. Again,
actually, you know what, I was reading an interesting article one time where it was like, who are the most powerful characters. Not that this is going to all of a sudden turn into us like a geek podcast, but, you know, I mean, shit, we are geeks. So
turn into?
Yeah, true. Or focus on.
Yeah.
They actually listed Squirrel Girl as, like, one of the most powerful, because she can control all squirrels kind of thing. You know,
right.
And it's like, yeah. I was like, that's interesting. I wasn't even familiar with the character, because I'm not a big comic geek, but...
Yeah, that's not nothing.
No. I mean...
So why don't we do this? We'll start on this side of the table because I was the first person to talk. So
okay.
Technically, I guess I won the coin toss.
Yeah.
Let me start by asking you some stuff.
Cool.
So you are the host mm-hmm. of Let's Laugh About Death, the sister podcast on the Randomify Network. And you had to take an unexpected hiatus. What happened?
Well, I had a severe case of life, and you know, shit happens. Craziness at work. Won't go into the details much, but basically the thing that we had all been culminating to for the last 8 months, 9 months, we weren't 100% ready for it, but it ended up happening. And so it was kind of like, okay, let's you know, patch the leaks in the roof and figure out where the holes are. And it was just doing a lot of that kind of stuff. It's better now. So that's good. But one day when I had to work on a day off, when we were preparing for all this, I was working from home and I had, we used to have four cats. Okay. And two of them had died a while back, and we moved out to Colorado here with two cats and a dog. And the one cat was my buddy. He was the best cat I've ever had. I've had, shit, probably 10 cats or so in my life, maybe more, I don't know. And this one was like, he was like a dog, you know. He would greet me when I came home, that kind of stuff, you know. And he was getting kind of, they were both getting up there in age. And, you know, we knew they didn't have a lot of time left. He had had some kidney issues and stuff for the last couple of years, and we prolonged his life with a quality of life, not just for our own selfish purposes of, hey, we can have our pet around. But there was one day where he just wasn't looking so good, and my wife went, and she's like, you know, keep an eye on Saturn, was his name. Keep an eye on Saturn. And so I'm working from home, and I keep focusing on my cat, and basically I was watching my cat die while I'm on this meeting that I really could give two shits about. And
the meeting, not the cat.
Yeah. Yeah. The meeting or yeah, the meeting.
Yeah. The meeting you could not give two shits about.
No, but, and we joke about it, you know, we have to joke about it. Cause I mean, shit, that's what my podcast is about. But
yeah,
we, you know, it was really hard to watch, you know, be like texting my wife going, honey, we got to take him in, you know? So, and we were able to hold off a little bit, you know, I was able to chill with him on the bed with her and him for, you know, about an hour or so. And then we waited till Aiden got home, let him say goodbye, and then we took him in. And it was just, you know, the way we had to take him in, we had to trick him into getting into the cat carrier, which I hated. You know, the place he hated the most, of course, was the vet, which most pets do. But, you know, some pets don't have a problem with it so much. And just, you know, having to watch him go, you know, that bothered me. And then, so we had the last cat left, and he ended up going on like 2 weeks later. And so, you know, and it's one of those things where it's like, we chose to keep all their ashes, and we made a joke at one time where, you know, we had two of them up on the wall. We have them like on a shelf, and, you know, and I made a joke, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to have a full set sometime, you know? And sure enough, you know, we got the one cat's ashes, and it's like, we got a full set, you know, and
got to catch them all.
Exactly. You know? So, and that's kind of, you know,
the lead catcher on Pokemon was Ash. Yeah, so there you go. It's very perfect.
Perfect. So yeah, we've got a, you know, a shelf with four Poke boxes. You know, they're not as colorful, but they're, you know, they got the names of the monster on there and everything. So
yeah, but it's not nothing.
No. But, you know, and I'm glad that they're not suffering, you know, and that's what any...
Well, ashes don't suffer.
If they're snorted, you know, and that's something we are thinking about doing is on their anniversaries, you know, we might just snort a little bit, but, you know, but no, but seriously...
Make it festive.
Yeah. You know, it's
put the fun back in funeral.
Exactly. You know, put them in a confetti launcher and just blast them out. But no, I really though.
That's a terrible birthday.
On the birthday cake, it could be like, oh, we got a little bit of
Saturday. Take
them
to a hockey game, throw them on the ice. Boo.
Hey, if Detroit could do octopus, you know, right, we can throw cat ashes out there. But no, so that hit
me. So that
me.
Took up some time.
Yeah, it took up time because.
Because you were supposed to do an interview that day, right?
Oddly, I was supposed to do an interview both days. So I had an interview that was scheduled on the one cat's day that I was watching him die. And that never got rescheduled. I don't know, and whatever. And then I canceled twice on somebody, and I apologized to him, and I'll get him on the podcast. But there was one thing I had to cancel for other reasons, and then there was another thing that I canceled for just because I was depressed, you know. A week later, and it was like, you know what, I just don't have it in me. And so he understood. So he's very cool. So we'll get him on there at some point, but. It was at that moment where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a break. I got only 17 episodes, but, you know, again, that ain't nothing. And
yeah, it's not.
It's a good place to stop. Shit, most TV shows only go 10, so I go, well, you know, 17 episodes. I'll take a little hiatus. And that's all it is. You know, I'm not done. In fact, I'm planning on recording some episodes or at least one long mega episode when I go back. For our 10th movie with the Haunted Saginaw series. So I'm going to try and interview some of the people involved in that. One of the guys from Ghost Hunters, that kind of stuff. It'd be interesting to get his perspective on what he thinks happens when we die, you know.
I bet you it involves ghosts.
Probably. Or Parcheesi, you know. One of the two.
Or Ghost Cheesy.
Ghost Cheesy, yes. In fact, there's a theory.
Yuck.
There's a theory. That part of the reason why ghosts exist is because they have unfinished business, and maybe they like playing Parcheesi. You know, who knows? Maybe that's what he'll tell me.
But there's a lot to unpack there. That's a lot to do. So, I mean, how is that going to feel to go back to Saginaw and be a part of this thing that, you know, was so important to you for so long? It's got to be a little bit like... you know, like the Beatles letting Stu Sutcliffe come to town. You know what I mean? You know, like, oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey. Well, I mean, in all honesty, the thing has been a success for, at least in Saginaw, for the last 10 years. We've
sure.
had 4,000 people show up every year, you know, right. like clockwork. And it's really incredible, you know. And I do look forward to going and getting up on stage, and it's fun to have the crowd cheering and all that kind of stuff because they genuinely get into it.
Yeah.
This is going to be a slightly different experience because I haven't seen the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know, the previous ones, I would see it either if I was helping edit or, you know, at least seeing a pre-screening in the earlier films. We had another guy who was assisting Prozac with the editing, Steve. And, you know, now the last few movies – I was more in there with him, so I got a real hands-on feel of him. And this one, he showed me some scenes, you know, over webcam, and it's going to be neat because there's going to be stuff I have not seen. You
yeah,
know? It was like I did watch. I wasn't in the last movie, so we've had 10 movies, and I wasn't in number 9. And so the first time I saw it was on Amazon Prime, and I'm just like, this is pretty wild, you know, to watch it for the first time. So I had no idea what to expect. And so, yeah, it's definitely a Stu Sutcliffe kind of thing where I'm not really, I'm a member,
yeah.
but I'm a satellite member now, you know? So, and I know he would have no problem being like, yeah, come on back, you know, and be in something or whatever, but I just can't. It's not like before where, you know, it would be 3, 4, 5 months of editing, you know?
Well, because this takes a long time to compile.
Oh, God,
I mean,
yeah.
like, it's almost like with a... you know, with a documentary, I mean, there's only so much of having cameras running for 12 hours at a time, you
yeah.
know, before you finally get 4 seconds of something of what the fuck was that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's like you're going through and you're filtering through, you know, 90 hours or more or whatever
yeah.
of footage.
And it's a full-time job with overtime.
Absolutely.
On top of people's full-time jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were when we would edit, it would be... shit, you know, when I was editing with, I was his assisting editing with him because he puts in more time than I do. When I was assisting him with it, it was nothing to put in, you know, a month or two straight of 16-hour days.
Yeah.
You know, I would get there. It was like walk in, start editing, leave, go home, go to bed, wake up, go back. You know, 7 o'clock in the morning, we're finishing and we're starting up at 5 p.m. And all we did was just, you know, edit. Yeah, but you know, it's exhilarating though to see the efforts and to see people's excitement, because we've had people last year, they had people come from England to Saginaw, Michigan to check out one of these films just to be part of it.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. We get a lot of people from all over the country, you know, I've got fans myself in, you know, other parts of the world, Netherlands and things like that, where they hit me up every once in a while, and it's just neat, you know?
Yeah.
But
it's fun to be able to know that you've crossed some sort of cultural barrier.
Totally, totally. You know, and in fact, I think a couple of them are listening to the Let's Laugh About Death podcast. You know, so that's cool. It's neat. So, and I was going to announce the Let's Laugh About Death podcast at the premiere, but I decided, you know what, if I'm in the middle of a hiatus, that might be a bad time. I mean, it would be a great opportunity, but...
Well, just tell them it's premiere. It's coming back in 2020.
Yeah, maybe. That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll just make an announcement on stage.
2020 is not far from here, my friend.
No. It's like 6 weeks or whatever, so...
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Totally. So, yeah, it's something that I... you know, I enjoy doing the podcast. The hardest part is just getting guests. And I'm a little lazy on that, admittedly. But, you know, and it was just a case of with all the life happening and I had ran out of, you know, recorded episodes and I just didn't have it in me to, you know, to push on. And so, you know, and it's not like I dread doing the talking. It's not like I dread talking to the people. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know, the hardest part is just finding people. And so... That's something I'm going to take a different approach at, and yeah.
Well, it's not even so much necessarily of finding people, but I mean, there is a certain level of quality. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's a level of because you don't want to just talk to. I mean, you know, I've often said that the best podcast guest is the person who says yes, mm-hmm. But there's an asterisk by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because some pretty bland fucking people. Can say yes. and then, you know, you're trying to spin silk out of this straw. And, you know, it's everybody's got at least a couple of interesting stories.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And so I think there's something to be learned even from the ones that are, say, less than exciting. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. something to be learned from that. And there's kind of a value in keeping you on your toes as trying to be someone who can keep things entertaining for the audience.
Yeah.
But that's fucking work.
It is work. Well, and the guy who canceled on me, he you know, I told him, I was like, hey man, I just don't have it in me, and he even said, he was like, you know, well, you know, I don't know what it's gonna be, you know, in terms of an episode. And I was like, hey man, it'll be fine, you know, we'll go ahead, we'll make something totally. Out of it. And he said and I took this as a huge compliment. So he goes, yeah, but you have an ability to make the dictionary interesting. And I'm like, well, thank you. So I genuinely took that as a huge compliment. So if he's listening to this, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you do have that ability, and that's what makes you a good host. You know, the ability to stretch you know, kind of pick things up and follow the threads wherever they're going.
Totally.
You know, the trouble with something like that, when you get someone who needs some direction, mm-hmm. it's not so much that maybe they're a bad storyteller or a bad guest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can be if you're not completely checked in. You might not be directing them in the way they need to be directed.
Absolutely.
It's almost like when you're talking to somebody who's kind of green,
mm-hmm.
It's like you're trying to direct a little kid in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, you see that Jake Lloyd kid in The Phantom Menace. Yippee!
Yeah.
You know, it's a lack of direction. Yeah. I'm sure that kid was fine. He was in other movies and he was fine.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
But in that movie, you know, don't get me started on Star Wars. But the point is, you know, when you're the host, mm-hmm. you got to host. You got to facilitate.
Yeah.
And if you catch yourself checked out, it's going to come through. And
totally.
Believe
totally.
Me, I've even had people where I was having a day. And it was like, well, hopefully the guest helps me find it today.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And I guess I didn't want to have to put that on this particular person, you know, because I figured, you know what, rather than wasting their time, I gave them enough of a heads up to be like, hey, I don't have it in me today.
Well, tell me a little bit about let's celebrate these 17 episodes that you got in. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what you've learned over the course of making this show.
Well, I learned the technical side of it. You know, I was terrified the first time. I still have to consult to my notes because, you know, I've got the memory of a starfish, but I'm able to move through it a lot quicker now. I've gotten better at being able to direct, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, because I always make it a point. Every episode comes down to the question, you know, what do you think happens when we die? You know, we could sit there and talk about, you know, corn chips and all that kind of stuff. But as long as it comes back to, okay, fine. What do you think? I don't care. You like ranch? Good. Great. So what do you think happens when we die? You know? And it's like, that's the thing. And I'm not, I don't do it that abrupt, but sometimes I have. I mean, hell with you. It was like right
it
out
the
gate. It was
the first question you asked me.
Exactly. Because I was green.
Honestly, that kind of made it interesting. I mean, there is a certain instinct that was within you.
Totally.
You know, the only rule about the rules is that, you know, once in a while you got to break them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very important.
Yes.
So it's funny that we're doing all this inside baseball, like for, you know, absolutely no one. Nobody gives a shit about this.
But
what did you learn? What did you learn like existentially? Because you have to have heard a whole lot of different viewpoints. I mean, I remember you came to me saying, I'm going to ask that same question every episode. How is that going to stay interesting? You want to tell me how it stayed interesting?
Honestly, the way it stayed interesting, well, there was one of the guests. I'm keeping everybody anonymous at this point. There was one of the guests who said something that I've brought up in several episodes later that it hit me almost like a fucking bag of potatoes. Not anything to do with... We'll get into that.
We'll get into that.
Anyway, hit me in the face like a bag of potatoes where it was like, holy shit, I never thought about that. I never put it in that perspective. And that was... You know, she says, you know, that you know, we were talking about how, you know, some people say, oh, there was nothing when I came close to death and I saw nothing. And other people, they see the blinding light, and other people, they see dead relatives, and other people, they see, you know, I don't know, Teletubbies or whatever. But she was saying, everybody's life is different, so why should everybody's death be the same? And I was like, mind blown. I'm like, holy shit.
That changes everything.
That changes everything. I mean, you know, for all we know, when some people die, they see things from their culture that comes and sees them, and it's all... And when you think about it in that context, it's like, okay, why would I see geisha girls, for example?
Yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, with my upbringing and everything, you know, you could go back ancestrally and say, well, the Irish, et cetera, you know, I might see, you know, bagpipes and Gaelic dancers and all that, and it's like, well, but my mind knows... United States in the 70s to present kind of thing. So my mind would be, you know, video games and, you know, whatever, Star Wars and shit like that, you know, if it's going to be things from my subconscious or it's going to be relatives that I knew. And it's like, when you think about it in that context, it's like, yeah, why would everybody's, you know, life be the same? I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be flashbacks. It doesn't necessarily have to be the same kind of journey. I mean, think of how many times or how many different ways you can get to work.
Yeah.
You know, you can take a bus, you can take a train, you can, you know, ride piggyback, whatever, but this would be that same kind of journey. So who says that there's only one way to get to the end point? You know, and I'm just like, it's all this stuff comes back flying to me and all that. And it's like, yeah, existentially, I've learned a ton. Everybody, of those 17 people, every single person has had at least one different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, or something interesting about it that is different from everybody else.
Right.
So, you know, I've had some people say, you know, nothing happens. And it's like, okay, we'll expand on that. And then they were like, well, our soul, how did they put it? Our identity is gone. So therefore we are gone. And it's like, okay, but you're still there. You're just not an individual. And it's like, ah, okay. You know, that's an interesting way of looking at it. So there's just a lot of cool.
The drips go back to the ocean.
Go back to the ocean. Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, it's one of those things where, it's definitely been rewarding doing it. And I guess a lot of it comes down to I wanted to do the show justice, and I just didn't want to start putting out shit.
Right.
You know? I didn't want this to be one of those albums where it's like, well, they were great until he started doing heroin. You know? That kind of thing.
Well, usually it's the other way. They were great until he got sober.
Until he got sober, yeah. That's usually the case. But, you know, it's like I didn't want to do that to the show. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to just phone it in.
Yeah. If you can't give it your 100%, you know, it's time to reevaluate.
Totally.
Now, that said, I think this segues pretty perfectly into me having to talk about where I'm at.
Yes. So now we're going to slowly bring up the whole potatoes thing. That'll be coming up soon. You know, wait for it. But
For those of you who are so excited to hear about where this potato metaphor is coming from. Oh, you lucky so-and-so.
So, now,
let's turn
the
tables. Yeah, yep. You're interviewing me now.
Okay, so tell me what...
Not like that.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
Please, tell me. No, but we'll come right out the gate. So what happened?
Wow, okay. So this is the easy version. If you want to know the... I guess some of the more immediate thoughts that I had on this, you can go back and listen to the season premiere where I talked to Alf and I talked about going through a crazy depression and getting on medication. Mm. That was back in April.
Yeah.
So, and April was when I was finally starting to feel like a human being. Really, honestly, I was driving down the highway with my eyes closed in February. I mean, it was just like, and it wasn't even a sadness. It was just a complete void. Yeah. It was an emptiness. And that terrified me. So I was like, all right, well, I'm clearly not making enough of the right chemicals. Store-bought's okay. So I went to I didn't even go to a psychiatrist because I wanted this to be, you know, possibly temporary.
Yeah.
So I just went to my family doctor and, you know, I filled out the form where, you know, they go through all the stuff and it's like, do you feel little or no pleasure in things you used to enjoy on a scale of 1 to 10? And I wrote a 12. So, you know, and I thought they'd think it was funny. I really did that.
Did they think it was funny?
Nobody commented. So, you know,
they're like, oh, only a 12 guy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look at this guy. I got another 12.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, I started taking medication, and the medication did its job.
Okay.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It really helped me get over the hump. It did everything it needed to do. But the caveat to that is with any medication, there's diminishing returns.
Yeah.
And so after a certain point, you've got to make a decision whether you want to up your dosage to stay level or quit.
Yeah.
And I decided to quit.
And when did you decide to make – when did you – I was going to say decide to make that decision. That's stupid. when did you make that decision?
For one, that's not stupid. That's perfectly
true.
Acceptable
You do
sentence.
Have to add, you have yeah, to come have to the decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to make a decision to decide.
To decide. Yeah. No, that's true.
So yeah, I made the decision to decide. Okay. You know what? I take it back. That is stupid.
That's pretty dumb. That's like I did the thing with the thing, you know?
I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt and say words.
Come on.
But, so this is where we are now. It was probably, I started weaning myself off of it right around October.
Okay.
The trouble also with all of this, too, along with the medicine having diminishing returns, is that one of the returns it was having was on my weight. And it was it was returning very well in that regard. So I'm typically, when I look... you know, typically when I'm not paying attention to anything, if I'm not watching my diet and whatever, and I'm not exercising harder than I normally do, I rock around 180.
Jeez.
You know? And that's my typical place to live.
Yeah, that's like my goal weight.
I'm a little, you know, I don't have any abs or anything. I'm a little doughy in the middle, but I'm not, you know, I'm not over my belt. You know what I mean?
See, I'm happy when I go from not morbidly obese to just obese. You know, that's an accomplishment.
These are my good for you pants. These are the ones I can wear with a button. Not just a belt.
I don't need, yeah, exactly.
And I know how that works now because I got myself all the way up to over 230 pounds.
Yeah.
Which... And I'm 5'9".
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Well, that's my neighborhood right there, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, and again, it's one of those things where it's like, I just always rock around in that.
Yeah.
But I have one thing that that you have going for you is you have a clear, defined, definitive, you know what caused it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for the most part.
I'm pretty sure. And it was a combination of a couple of things. And let me tell you what those two things are.
Yes, yes.
Thing number one, I believe, and I believe this completely, I believe that the SSRI that I was taking.
And what is an SSRI?
It's a serotonin uptake inhibitor. I forget what the actual
acronym.
Yeah, okay. I forget exactly what that means. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm no doctor. and I didn't bother. I knew it once. I forgot it. I used to know HTML code, too. I don't know that anymore, either.
Well.
The thing is, so what it does is you're not producing serotonin regularly enough. And so you're just constantly in a depressive state. Now, obviously, I'm bipolar, and I've been mm-hmm. very open about that on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what your show is about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should not be on an antidepressant. I should be on, you know, lithium or some kind of mood stabilizer to try to...
I don't know why I laughed at that. Yeah.
Just combat the effects of that. But I don't want to do that. I want to ride the roller coaster.
Totally.
I'm this tall. I should ride. So I'm taking this, and the problem with medications that mess with your serotonin is that your serotonin is directly connected to metabolism. Now,
gotcha.
I was on a pretty mild dose,
mm-hmm.
but I can honestly say that once the depression was over and I started to get active again, you know, running, mm-hmm. skateboarding, you know, general exercise. I walk. I don't think I've taken an elevator in years.
Damn.
I always take the stairs. I work on the third floor of my building. And it's like, that's just how I live. I live pretty active. And I just kept seeing my weight go up and up.
Yeah.
And so I started changing my diet. My weight just kept going up and up.
Hmm.
Now,
that's scary.
The other piece of that
mm-hmm.
is that as I was starting to get, sad about how fat I got.
Mm-hmm.
And the medication started to wear off.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to not be doing its job quite as much anymore. There is that thing that you get if you're a clinically depressed person
mm-hmm.
where you can't handle silence. And so I can't handle silence in any way, shape, or form. I've got to have a fan running. I've got to have noise on my phone playing or something.
And
or I can't sleep.
Why is that?
Because otherwise, I'm going to talk to me. And everything that I'm not doing right in my life is going to be there for me to try to unpack at the end of the day. Like, this is everything you didn't get accomplished. This is where you're a failure. This is where it's all going wrong.
Okay.
These are all the things that you have to worry about. And this is why you suck. And
interesting.
Yeah. So that comes in to fill the silence.
Yeah.
Unless there's something there to focus on instead of that.
Gotcha.
The other thing that helps silence those voices is wine. and apparently, lots of it.
Yeah.
So, I was drinking no longer just socially or for fun. But I was drinking just so I could go to sleep. I mean, it was the equivalent of taking like a Tylenol PM.
Yeah.
Only it was, you know, by the end there, sometimes it was a full bottle of wine.
Damn.
With, you know, no drunkenness or hangovers.
So it wasn't even fun. It was
medicating. It was relaxing. It was nice.
Yeah.
Wine tastes delicious. It's good. I you know, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I was using it like a utility.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It was medicinal as opposed to recreational kind
of thing. Completely.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, you know, you might like the effects that you get from the Flintstones vitamins, but, you know, if you're just chewing on them because you like the way they taste.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, so it's, it was kind of that. And so a combination of factors. So I saw my doctor. I said, I'm off the medication. Mm-hmm. My brain is a little fuzzy. And she said, yeah, that's going to last maybe, you know, a week or so, or, you know, sometimes a little longer, depending on how long you've been taking it.
Yeah.
You're going to feel like shit for a little while. And, you know, if whatever you're doing doesn't work, we'll just take you out back and shoot you. And
okay,
yeah,
but it's a final solution. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things. So, that, not to be mistaken. Never mind. That's a bad topic. But
we're not going there.
We're not going there.
You know, I am 6% Jewish, so I'm a little offended by that.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you didn't catch it from the Jufro and the nose.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yes,
I can say that they're my people.
They're your people.
I'm chosen.
I don't. Yes,
I was. Well, I was chosen last because I'm only 6%.
You're only 6%. But
you know. They didn't call me over for kickball. Oh, boy. This is really going off the rails.
Yeah, yeah.
So to get this back on track.
Yes.
Essentially, I decided I just got to quit drinking, you know, at home. Mm-hmm. And I've gone out a couple of times since then and didn't feel the need to do it out either.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it was one of those things where I got to just start paying attention again. It was like a real wake up call.
Okay.
Like, hey, you've got to pay attention because you've been doing a lot of things sort of mindlessly. And that said, I got excited.
Okay.
When podcastguest.com kind of picked me for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And it, to sort of run with it and, you know, they gave me a shot and I ran with it.
Uh-huh.
And, a bunch of people wanted to do the show.
I just got to point out, I did that whole thing where you can like tell somebody's like taking a sip because they go, I always find that fascinating in a like a minute way. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
But I got this list of people who wanted to do the show.
Yeah.
And so
lot of them I remember.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the first day it was like 30 people.
That's fucking crazy.
You know, and then it just kind of kept picking up a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
And so I just reached out to everybody, said, "Hey, love to have you on the show. Here's my calendar." And 40 people booked. And
damn.
So my August and September I was recording like every other day, sometimes two episodes a day, and I got lost.
Yeah, I do remember you being pretty overwhelmed.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. Yeah. Like I'd be looking at my release schedule, and I would, because I had it all scheduled out, and I'd look at my calendar, and I wouldn't know who that person was.
Yeah.
What we talked about, I would have absolutely zero memory of any of it. Until I saw a picture of their face. Sometimes that was what it did. Sometimes I saw a picture of their face and I went, I still don't know
who
that is.
Yeah.
And I had to listen to part of the episode
before
I would remember, like, who was this? What did we talk about? And so it was that thing of, when it came time to do the intros and outros for the episodes, not that I've ever been a consummate professional.
Yeah.
But, there have been a couple where, I mean, they just went off the rails, and I said, "Hey, that's bananas, but we're keeping it. So, you know, enjoy that."
Yeah. Well, you know, and that you bring
it's
up
just a lot of work,
point.
And
yeah.
And then getting the I used to do a thing where about a week before the episode would drop, I would have all of the links worked out, I'd have the artwork worked out, and I would contact the guest. I would see if they had any changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pass all of this stuff in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And see what they thought. And then now, mm-hmm. with how fuzzy things have kind of been, it's been, you know, like, oh, I forgot. I'm putting this up tomorrow. And I just made the flyer 20 minutes ago. And it's 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you don't respond to this in the next 5 minutes, this is what's going live.
Yeah.
So I hope you're okay. And there have been a couple where it was like, no, you got to change something. It's like, oh, shit.
With like a photo or something?
Yeah, yeah. Change
oh, wow.
the photo.
Okay.
Or, you know, the photo's the hardest part.
Yeah, that's.
But, you know, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of to bring it all around to answer that that question, I hit myself with a sack of potatoes because I've decided
I'm wheezing. Sorry.
To well, that's okay, Weezer. say it ain't so. I've decided that I'm going to do something drastic. You know, being ever the person who kind of does like a small amount of research to make sure it's okay, and then jumps.
Gotcha.
That's me. I think I can build a podcast room. think it'll be. I think it'll be $400.
Yeah. You know. Hey, but you know what though?
Go.
I am so fucking proud of us for this room.
So am I.
It really turned out pretty fucking great.
But I mean, this is one of the benefits of doing just enough research to get yourself in hot water.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't like paint ourselves into a corner. Because there was no corner.
Yeah, no, we did. We literally did. When we were building and we started to put the walls up and we realized they didn't line up right.
Like, yeah.
And then it was, okay, how do we restructure this so that works?
Well, we started doing research halfway through.
Yes. Yeah, it started with an idea.
Yeah.
Much like this. So yes. I've got all of this weight to lose. Like about 50 pounds before I'm comfortable.
Comfortable, yeah.
I was like, I got to get rid of this right away because it's making me incredibly unhappy. And I realized it hasn't stopped me from doing any of the stuff I want to do. I found out there's a skate park just down the street from my house and I've been going.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going skateboarding.
Very cool.
And sucking at it.
Well.
Because now I'm a fat guy.
Yeah.
And being a fat guy trying to ollie, it's goddamn hard. I have all of this weight to lift into the air. And it's hard. But I'm doing it. You know, I'm going to the skate park. I'm running. I'm wheezing and sweating.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
All of that. But I'm running. You know, it hasn't stopped me, but it's made everything unpleasant.
Speaking as a a lifetime fat guy, that has been.
Do you have a handbook for the recently?
Yes. As could I interest you in fatness?
Handbook for the recently engorged.
Engorged.
That's the word. I was looking for a word.
No. That's very challenging. You know, one of the hardest steps is, you know, at least here's the difference. Is I remember one time watching a video of a guy who purposely was like, "I'm in shape. And I'm going to start eating like shit and gain 75 pounds and then lose it."
Yeah.
So you can see that you can do it too. And I'm like, yeah, that's a cool idea. But your body knows what it's like to be fit and healthy, you know? And so it's going to kind of morph back into that. It's like, okay, well, I know it's in here. Or at least mentally, you know what it's like to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know what I know you know what it's like to be thin and, you know, and thin.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always, ever since I've been little, I've always been the equivalent of 20 pounds overweight, you know? And right now, I would love to be 20 pounds overweight. I weigh 240, 245-ish in that range there. And I should be weighing probably about 165. So I'm about 80 pounds overweight, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, I think putting your mind to it and having your mind go, oh, this feels familiar. You know, it knows it knows the ending to the movie and it's excited for the ending. It's waiting for the chorus. My body doesn't know what that chorus is.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, there's so to think that you can have a healthy mind when your body's not healthy, is crazy.
Yeah,
because I mean, your mind is part of your body.
Exactly. It's a muscle. You know.
Yeah.
If
you know, and you can, I mean, there are things that you can do that'll, you know, literally change the way your brain works.
Yeah.
You know, and physically change your brain with just with behavior patterns. So it's ridiculous to think that the rest of your body changing would have nothing to do with your brain.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
So I can tell you that from experience. You know, packing on the weight has definitely made things more unpleasant. It's made things hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, I want to do because it's honestly, it's just made things difficult for me. It's made depression a lot easier to dig its hooks in.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's changed so many fundamental things. And so to answer where the potatoes come in.
Yes. See, this is what this, that's what the title should just be, just potatoes.
About, I guess it was probably about a year ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was two at this point even. Time is blurry. Kevin Smith had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And his doctor told him, you've got to lose 50 pounds immediately.
Damn.
And so he went on this diet where to drop the weight immediately, he just ate potatoes for 2 weeks. So nothing but potatoes, no butter, no sour cream, no salt.
Yeah.
No, just potatoes. That's it. Just cooked or raw potatoes.
Wow.
That's it. And the science behind
it. How the fuck do you eat a raw potato?
Just like an apple.
Really?
Yeah.
I tried that once and it's like not even palatable.
Well.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
I mean, you know, you should wash it first.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just, yeah. Okay. Continue.
But there is some science behind it.
Yeah.
Because of the resistant starch in a potato, the way that potatoes work is that resistant starch will bind to the fiber of the potato and essentially make it more of a fibrous food than a carby food. So it's dissolved and worked out differently by your body.
Okay.
And this is a secret that like weightlifters and actors and all kinds of people do. It's like some people will, you know, if they got to cut some weight,
mm-hmm.
they'll just do potatoes for a while and just, you know, just cut the weight off. It's medically okay. They say that you probably shouldn't try to exercise too much because you're not going to be getting a lot of calcium and you're not going to be getting a lot of protein.
Gotcha.
There's
yeah.
very little of either of those things. You can take supplements and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a good idea. But then afterwards,
mm-hmm.
You start introducing some raw vegetables.
Raw vegetables. Now, why raw as opposed to cooked?
There's a couple of different things behind it,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, you can add some cooked ones too. But you know, just make sure that they're like whole,
yeah,
and that they're not like processed or anything.
Okay.
And essentially, the idea behind it is it's mostly for people who have had like Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Who, like, he had to lose some weight or he was going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's mostly for people like that, like people who have had a very difficult time dropping some weight.
Yeah.
And under doctor's supervision,
mm-hmm.
they're like, you know, we're going to try this to get you to drop the weight quickly. And then it kind of going on that mono diet at the beginning of just potatoes, what it does is it completely resets your palate.
Okay.
And it completely resets your relationship with food.
Yeah.
Because plain potatoes are terrible. and you start eating as a utility.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's
When you start switching after a couple of weeks, when you start switching to stuff like, corn
mm-hmm.
and beans and things like that, it tastes amazing.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Because now you're tasting all the stuff that you used to cover up with all that bullshit.
Butter or, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You start getting all these natural flavors. And then if you continue to do it, like several people have, like Kevin is still a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Penn Jillette famously lost 100 pounds doing
this. How long did it take him to lose that? Or Kevin, for that matter?
Kevin, let's see. He lost 17 pounds in the first 2 weeks.
Wow.
It was the weight just started pouring off. So he was huge.
Yeah. He was really huge.
He
was like almost 400 pounds or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
It wasn't long before he actually got himself down
mm-hmm.
like to 190.
Yeah. Well, the more you weigh, the more weight will come off quickly, especially
yes.
if you go to a severe diet like that.
Totally.
You know, because it's calories.
Yeah.
It comes down to calories and that. And
yeah.
you know, it's we won't get into the math.
But, yeah, but again, you're right. There's some science behind that. There's some math behind that. But I decided that, you know, I'm gonna give this a shot. I'm gonna see if it works.
Yeah.
And
has it worked at all for you yet?
Yeah, yeah. I'm only on day three, but I'm down 5 pounds
in 3 days.
Yeah,
yeah. Most conventional diets.
Well, and I can see it.
Yeah,
like when I look in the mirror, I can see it.
Really?
I can see like that already. Some of the bloating is going away.
Nice.
So you know, it's things are kind of shifting back to where they are. I actually have a lot of energy.
Really?
Yeah. It's
that's crazy considering how little calories, well, and how little of anything you're getting.
I mean, you can probably hear it in my voice. My voice sounds so much different than it normally does on the show. Normally, I'm a fucking, you know, a methed out Muppet. But towards the end of the day,
yeah,
I don't have any energy left. I'm
well,
done.
That
I
am makes
kaput
sense.
At the end of the day. But yeah. I am starting to be able to sleep. Like, I'm going back to... all of the things that I learned I was avoiding or, you know, just trying not to pay attention to, like I said, the silence of being able to sit with myself, it was something that I had gotten comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd started figuring out meditation and stuff like that, but you know, it's a lot easier, eat a big old meal and have a couple glasses of wine. It'll knock you right out. And it's a lot easier than dealing with your problems.
That's the slippery slope.
Yeah. Podcaster, heal thyself.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm at. I mean, that's where I'm at. I was sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got less sad, and then I got fat, and it made me sad, and so now I'm eating like I'm sad.
That's
to make me happy.
Well, and that was a question I had for you earlier. what is the chemical that gets triggered when you eat a candy bar?
Dopamine.
Dopamine. Okay,
yeah.
So what is the relationship between dopamine and serotonin?
They're cousins.
They're cousins. Okay,
yeah,
so does food kind of fill that void a little bit?
Absolutely, it does.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So that makes sense why if you're fat, you eat more.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, because you're getting the dopamines with the chocolate or whatever shit you're eating.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what I've discovered, though, is that I do love the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was presented with this and it was like just nothing but potatoes for 2 weeks and see how much weight you can lose, I was like... Oh, there's like a game show aspect to this.
Kind of, yeah.
And it's, you know, I'm hopefully going to be able to find a way to talk about this and make it interesting. Because then it'll make me want to keep doing it.
Absolutely. And we're doing that.
Yeah.
You know? And so that, of course, you know, when this episode comes out, you'll have already gone past that. And maybe you could talk about it, you know, on the following episode or something. But,
things have been strange. Things have been really strange. I realized that in so many ways, like I had put myself back in that box again where I thought I had figured it all out and I was coasting.
Yeah.
And now there are so many things just slapping me in the face with a wake up call. Like pay attention to your life. Pay attention to the people in your life. I got a message yesterday that my aunt is in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not doing well. And, you know, some of that is due to choices and some of it isn't. And either way, it's not fair. It just kind of is what it is. You know, it comes for us all, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And
let's
so,
laugh
you know,
about it.
Yeah. But you make your choices.
And
you say, you know what? This is how I'm going to go out. It's not going to be fun or graceful, but I accept it.
Yeah.
You know? And it looks like that may happen.
How old is she?
I don't know. I honestly.
I mean, like 60s, 70s.
Yeah, like 60s,
60s. 70s. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
You know, smoking and stuff.
That's
like forever. And,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm not going to quit. I'm just. This is how this is going to go.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, there's a point where that makes sense. My brother, he knew he had weeks, months to live, so he was like, "Fuck it, why quit smoking now? That's dumb. I'm going to.
Right.
Yeah. It makes me happy. So, and it makes me feel better. But yeah, when you're like. You know, if you don't quit smoking, you're going to have a hole in your neck and a heart attack, you know, and it's just like, I'll be fine. I'll take the hole. Yeah, exactly. I want to sound like Ned. Yeah. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where you know, everybody, I think deep down inside feels that they're going to live forever.
Yeah.
You know, to some degree.
I've sort of been confronting that a little bit lately too, because I'm realizing as well that, you know, my body is not reacting the way I want.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, you know, you're kind of like I've sleepwalked through so many things, like, because I set myself up for a certain plateau of success, so to speak.
Yeah.
I automated everything good that was happening for me. You know what I mean? I set it on autopilot.
I set up
the podcast. I set up going to work. I set up exercise. I set up meal times. I set up phone calls. I set up contacts. I set all of that up on a predictable autopilotable schedule. And all I had to do was show up and half check in. And it bit me.
Interesting.
And I didn't realize I was doing it. I didn't realize at all that I was doing it. And the thing that really drove that home for me happened today.
Okay.
And this is going to be a difficult thing for me. It's going to seem like a very small thing, probably.
Well.
But this small thing was, I mean, it felt like a nail in me.
Yeah.
What had happened was I call and talk to my mom once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
We have a rocky relationship. Everybody kind of knows that who listens to the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I love my mom, so we make it work.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's her. I'm just saying it's us.
Yeah.
Like, we're just two people that if we didn't know each other, we'd probably be fighting on the internet. you know what I mean?
I love the analogy. Yeah.
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 But we do know each other. And since we care, we don't fight on the internet. But I don't talk to my dad all that much.
Really?
It's so strange to me. I realize today that he's been a constant presence in my life,
mm-hmm.
but mostly as an avatar, mostly as a marble statue to look up to, as like, you know, what would that guy do? And like, not even as a superhero, but mm-hmm. like more along the lines of, this is a human being that struggled and made it work.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was the pinnacle, because,
yeah.
you know, none of us are going to be Superman, but some of us can be dude who got his shit together.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Pretty good guy.
Yeah.
You know?
yeah, exactly. So I was kind of, you know, looked up to him that way. But like over the years, something strange has happened and he's just become a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to him on the phone today. And it was sort of a bummer, because it was like he just said a couple of things that were like, ooh, all right.
You know, like what?
Fox News has really done a number on my father. And it's kind of strange because, you know, my dad was, you know, he always seemed to be pretty like he never seemed to reveal his cards as far as where he was at politically,
mm-hmm.
but he always seemed to err on the side of decency and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And so even like, though I, as an adult, I figured, oh yeah, he's always voting Republican. I get it.
Yeah.
But that's because that's what you do when you're an old man. Like, that's what you do. But he's become kind of, you know, not savvy anymore. I mean, you know, he got his master's degree. He went to college. He was a substance abuse counselor. He understands psychology.
Yeah.
And I've kind of watched him sort of devolve into sort of a scared Midwesterner who still thinks Obama's going to come take his gun away.
Gotcha.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Obama's not. he's like, fuck y'all. I'm in Chicago. I'm going to go parasailing. Peace.
Actually, you know? If you go in a bathroom, though, and turn the lights off and look in a mirror. and say his name.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Don't do that.
That's... No, I wouldn't.
Boo.
Boo. But,
But you know, it's kind of weird. It's not even so much that we're politically opposed, because, you know, I got Republican friends. I don't give a shit about that. It's that he seems confused and scared.
Gotcha.
That's what it
is. So he's no longer that avatar, again, of strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's we age and we get weaker.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's in his 70s.
Yeah.
And to kind of see, you know, what appears to be, like, some of his, like, mental faculties.
Yeah.
Just kind of moving, you know, into old man territory. That's a bummer.
That is a bummer. Yeah, that's, I can genuinely relate, because my mom's in a home right now.
Yeah. You know,
and she thinks she's on vacation.
Yeah. You know,
she thinks that...
That's got to be hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least it gives me some comfort, because she's happy-ish.
Yeah.
Because she thinks she's on vacation.
Right.
You know, she'll tell me. I'll call her.
That's not nothing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's not like she's like, get me out of here. Because there are some, I mean, right. There are some people who do that. And it's sad.
Yeah, they come out of it and they're like, where the fuck am I?
Yeah, yeah. No, she, every time, you know, I'll talk to her, and every time I tell her I've moved to Colorado, and, you know, and she'll be like, well, I got to work tonight, and I've got to, you know, and it was her birthday the other day. And I'm like, yeah, you made it to 82. And she's like, shut up. And I'm like, no, really? I mean, mom, you're 82. She's like, no, I'm not. You know, and she used
How old are you?
Yeah. And she used to joke about it that way when she had her faculties more.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I'm like, she's not joking anymore.
Yeah.
Now when she says it, I think she genuinely thinks she's in her 60s. And in fact, there was one time I talked to her, or somebody in the family did, and she thinks she's in her 60s.
Well, she doesn't know your brother died.
No. We don't. We haven't told her.
Yeah.
And I feel bad, but it's like, you know what? I don't want to have to keep telling her.
Yeah. Why relive that over and over?
Why relive it? You know, because
it's going to be bad enough to hear it once.
You got it. You got it.
You know what? At this point, why should she have to hear it at all?
Yeah. You know, and some people would probably think we're shitty for doing that, and there's been some debate.
Maybe.
You know?
But honestly, I mean, you're your own judge and jury on that.
Absolutely. And quite frankly, half the time, I mean, she's been losing her faculties for years. I mean, I've got two nephews, and their names are Sean and Michael,
yeah.
And for the longest time, it was Sean and the other one, you know? Seriously. So she's been kind of losing it for a while, probably since she's been about 70. And, so it's like one of us will call and she mixes up who we are and all that. So it's like if we told her Pat died, she probably wouldn't remember 20 minutes later, you know? So it's like, you know, and here's my fear. If we tell her that, I'd hate it for that to be the thing that sticks.
Yeah.
And then she resents all of us, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So it's like, we'll just leave it. And she's going to find out.
Yeah.
You know, whether, you know, I mean, I have said numerous times, I think there's something afterwards. oh, man, I can't stop coughing. But, you know, either.
That's the lies coming out of you.
Yeah, well, I've been coughing a lot lately. yeah, that's a whole nother thing. But,
So tell me what the emotional forecast is. I mean, we've been going over the weather report for, you know, the rainy days that we've had in our souls this past hour. And tell me what the weather holds moving forward. Like, what? I mean, you don't even have to have anything concrete, but what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, I've mentioned a foundation that I want to get started. I mentioned that a few... weeks ago on one of my last episodes.
Yeah.
And so that's something I'm focusing on. In fact, I was going to meet with the SBA, which is a Small Business Administration, today. But that got rescheduled. Not by my part. I showed up and we got double booked. So, and he's very cool. This guy's going to meet me at a Starbucks up by me. So I think that's pretty neat. I want to get that going. Again, launch the podcast.
When do you anticipate bringing it back?
Probably after the new year. You know, I'm thinking like July or so. But I'm not kidding. No, I'll probably wait till the holidays are done and then launch again. I'm going to research into that podcast guest.
Early 2020.
Yeah, early 2020. I want to do like I did, you know, have a few banked up, because it's definitely nerve-wracking when I've got, you know, I recorded it Saturday and it's going out Sunday. You know, I've done that.
Yeah.
So.
You know, and especially if, you know, if you get, I mean, because life gets in the way.
Yeah,
things happen.
Totally.
You know, you get sick. You have somebody drop out at the last minute, or, you know, heaven forbid, something dies.
And
you've
got
to, you know, you've got to cancel something and you've got nothing in the hopper.
Exactly. Well, and in fact, that was another thing that had happened that I just was reminded of. that I had a seizure. You know, I have seizures from time to time after the cat died and with everything else going on. And the only thing we could think of is it's stress related.
Yeah.
You know, it was just one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, they happen.
You can't
when
get those because you're ugly, right?
I'd have been having them for a while then.
Yeah.
You know, that's only just no, I would have been. They've only developed the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So you're saying I've only been ugly the last couple of years? Well, thanks, man.
Yeah. You know, it caught up with you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. But, but no, the, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I just kind of deal with.
Yeah.
You know, and it happens when I sleep, so it's not like it's anything that's, you know, a major issue, but it's still, after I come out of one, you know, I feel like I've been, you know, working out for 7 hours straight.
Yeah.
You know, my shoulder's still tweaked from it, you know, because I do the shaking and all that kind of stuff. I did have my wife videotape it, though, and I said some weird shit, so that was fun.
You ought to set that to music.
I think she deleted it, though.
Ah.
I know. God, that would have been great. Or at least, you know, something with it.
Yakety,
you know?
Sax.
No. She didn't videotape the floppy bounce, though. Oh, she just videotaped me coming out of it.
Oh, well, who cares about that?
Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, the yakety sax with the fucking bouncing. Oh, that would be awesome. Dude, I'm going to get fucking home video cameras and just hook them up so that, you know.
Well, see, now you have goals.
I have goals.
Something to look forward to.
You know what? I'm going to embrace the stress. I'm going to get so stressed. I'm going to, you know what? Shit. I'm going to go spend all my money on the lottery and bank on it. I'm going to bank my rent on the lottery. And then boom. And then
seizure.
Well, seizure. Yeah. But
it'll be another kind of seizure, too, when they come repossess your shit.
Yes.
Well, this has been really great. I'm glad that we had this talk because, you know, honestly, it's not often that we get to do this anymore. So what better way for friends to stay in touch than to be on each other's podcast?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, you know what? You gave me an idea. I remember when you came back from season 2,
yeah,
you had Alf interview you. Maybe I should have you interview me.
Absolutely.
That could be fun. You know,
we'll get Alf to interview you.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know you.
I don't know you.
What's your deal?
Yeah, exactly. He'd be like, it'd be, you know, 3 minutes done. So,
and just let me know when you're going to start talking about something interesting and we'll go.
And we'll go.
Yeah. We've been going an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Thanks for talking to me.
Hey, definitely. Thanks for having me on. And thank you for being on mine.
Oh, man, it was a blast.
That's cool. This is almost like a podcast 69. I liked it.
It's a 72.
It's a 72.
Good night, kids.
Later. And thank you for joining us. I just wanted to let you know that I've got some interesting things coming up. I've got the 10th movie in the Haunted Saginaw series. It's A Haunting on Brockway Street. Going to be showing at the Temple Theater on November 15th and 16th. For those of you who are in town, or watch for it on Amazon Prime shortly after that. And I will see you in 2020.
And as for me, I will also see you in 2020 as the show winds down throughout the month of December. But as always, you can go to coffeeoversuicide.com for all of your Coffee Over Suicide needs. And don't forget that we've got a link to the store in there where you can get your Laughs Laugh About Death t-shirts, your Coffee Over Suicide t-shirts just in time for the holidays. But as always, until next time, don't kill yourselves out there.
And have yourselves a good day and have yourselves a good life.
Welcome to
Let's Laugh About
Suicide. Or Coffee Over Death.
Or Coffee Over Death. Yes, yes, yes.
I'm Chris Parker Howard.
And I'm Tim Rooney.
This is a double whammy episode, so if you're subscribed to both podcasts, fuck you.
We can't keep that. We can't keep that. Nah, you know what? You know what? No, this is unconventional. Let's keep it. We don't mean fuck you. We mean love you.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So.
A loving.
Loving. God. I'm going to love you in the ass.
No, we can't keep it.
And have yourselves a good day, and I fucked that up. It's my tagline. Why would I do that? Have yourselves a good day, and I fucked.